New Year is the time for resolutions. Some we keep, others we break. With us this morning, and he has some tech and social media resolutions that are easy to stick with, digital strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, you've been doing this for a long time. What lessons have you learned over the years?
Hi, Bob. Happy New Year. Well, I've learned that the resolutions that stand the test of time are the easiest ones. And when it comes to tech and social media, the most important ones don't really have to be difficult.
All right, let's start with avoiding text and email scams. There are so many of them these days.
Yeah, there really are. And for this one, it is just vitally important that you read your email and your text carefully. And I've been saying for years that when it comes to our online life, we scan. We don't read. And we don't read because we don't have time to read. And this is a place where you don't want to multitask, because when we scan, we miss some very important things. We miss clues and we miss nuances. And when it comes to avoiding scams, it's all about the clues and nuances.
So where are we most likely to find these things?
Well, let's use one example. Let's use a credit card offer. And we see those all the time in email and text. But a request to log into an account and to update your credit card information, it's not going to happen, because that's just not how reputable companies operate. So just because you receive it doesn't mean you should act on it. And therein lies the big problem. So many of us do.
But we get so many emails and texts, even if we were to read instead of scan, how can we tell for sure what's real and what's not?
It's an excellent question. And over the years, Bob, it's gotten harder and harder, because scammers have gotten smarter and smarter. And the old tricks still work, but now there's new tricks. You know, there's AI and these bots that can do all these amazing things. But this part, this is important. There are always tells. Tells like the language in the email, when the English sounds just a little bit off, or the sentence has extra spaces between periods.
Yeah, those are the clues and the nuances we talked about earlier, right?
Exactly. And you wouldn't think an extra space would be a nuance, right? But it is. And a really important clue to watch for is the originating email address. Where did the email come from? You see the name of the company at the top, but you should hover or click on the name to see what the email address looks like. Because if it's for a reputable company and it comes from an old Hotmail address with 1234 in it, that should be a big red flag waving in your face that you may be about to fall for something sinister that's designed only to get you to give up your login information and your password. And then once a scammer has your info, they might try it on other accounts. So if you have the same password on this account that you have on others, you may have just made your problem that much bigger.
You know, the scammers, they know around the holidays, everybody's expecting packages. And so there are so many texts and emails saying that a delivery has been attempted and they want you to click on something. And I got one of those. And just from the typeface and font, I knew that there was something funky about it.
And the crazy thing about that, Bob, is that's so noticeable, right? That's one of those tells that you can see right away. But scammers, sometimes they just have to, they go for the Hail Mary. They're just like, I've got to do something to get this person's attention. Let me try some crazy font. Maybe they don't know that this is a trick that scammers use. You'd be surprised, Bob, how many people don't realize that, and they just operate as though it's normal.
I'm sure. All right. Let's say after reading and rereading a message, you still can't tell if it's legit or not. Is there a point where you would assume it's safe?
Bob, I would never assume anything in these types of situations, because even if I have the slightest bit of doubt, and there are times where I do, you know, I make sure to contact the company by phone, or I log into my actual account to check. I would much rather take 5 or 10 minutes now to call the company and inquire than deal with the consequences of not taking that step.
Yeah, we've discussed that before, and you're talking old school, just call and ask.
That's exactly right. A call to customer service with the number on the actual website or on the back, if it's a credit card, or on the back of your physical credit card. Speak to a representative and say something like, I received an email saying I need to update my credit card info. I'm not sure if it's legitimate, and I'd like to know for sure if there's something you need on my account before I take any action. That way, you know for sure. And to be clear, a reputable company should never put a customer through something like this. And 9 times out of 10, the emails, and especially texts that you get like this, they're scams. But that extra bit of work could have saved you a lot of pain.
Well, yes, no doubt. More to come from digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. And we'll open up the Genius Bar. If you've got a question for Scott, you can call us or text us. Same number, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Scott, let's talk a little bit about social media safety.
Yeah, sure. So even as social media has changed drastically since I started doing this, I always believe that for us to work, we all have to work together to make social media better and safer. I've been saying that for a very long time. And that means when you see something that violates the rules, report it. And I've since said day one that we all have that shared responsibility to make the platforms we use better.
So we make it safer by making it less unsafe.
Yeah, in theory, that's right, even though we get so frustrated when we don't see direct action from the reports that we make. But every time we feed information into an algorithm, we somehow make a difference.
Good to remember that. And finally, passwords. Let's talk about those.
Yeah, sure. So passwords, along with pass keys and two-factor authentication, remember, passwords need to be secure because you use them to sign on to websites independent of what device you're using. Passkeys are newer, and they keep data safe by limiting the access to that specific device you're on. So think your fingerprint or the face ID that you use. And two-factor authentication, that's an extra layer where you need to confirm your account with a code.
Yeah, we've talked about this a lot, and you've said someday passkeys are going to replace passwords. But we are still a few resolutions away from that day, aren't we?
Yeah, probably a few more years. But we're making progress, and more sites are offering passkeys. But the internet is a big place, so for now, use passkeys where you can, where it pops up and asks you to if you want to do so. But in the meantime, continue to make your passwords very secure. One good thing is that websites these days have much better requirements now for what is actually considered a secure password, but even those systems aren't foolproof. So you can still have, you know, the old password baseball123 and satisfy that requirement, but scammers know your tricks because, and we were saying this before, they're good at what they do.
And you say one password per account and never reuse them, correct?
Oh, that's absolutely right. Absolutely. No reusing passwords. And we've said earlier that if you fall victim to a scam and you end up sharing a password, that can be a big problem. But think about it this way. If you reuse the same passwords on multiple sites, you may have just increased your problems exponentially. And I always say, and I'll say it again, your Netflix password should not be the same as your credit card password. And your password should not be simple to guess and to remember.
You said before passwords are not about convenience. I think a lot of people use the same password because there are so many passwords to remember that makes it easier and more convenient.
And it does, and I absolutely don't disagree with that, but exactly. Passwords are only about security. Creating passwords with the goal of memorizing it easily is what gets us into trouble in the first place. And that said, modern phones and browsers have password managers built in. So you can save a strong password and your device will automatically fill it in for you when you need it. So that is something you should absolutely take advantage of. You want to do everything you can to keep your data out of sinister hands. You do have a lot more control than you might think.
Scott, run that by me again about your device automatically filling in a password for you when you need it.
Yeah. So when you save a password for the first time, you may see something, and it's going to vary depending on the platform, but it'll say something like, would you like to save this password? Or would you like to create a strong password? If you say yes, the next time you have to log into something with that password, you'll get a little pop-up that has username and password, and the stuff is already filled in. That's because your device is remembering what you did. That's kind of how a passkey works, not exactly, but that's kind of what the concept is, where you don't have to worry about remembering your own passwords.
All right, got it. Before we open up the Genius Bar, any final tips in this area for us?
Yeah, you know what, Bob? It seems like a weird tip, but I would say use common sense. If you're not sure, don't take the risk. One click on an email can have lasting consequences. And also, never assume that you are too unimportant and that a scammer is not going to target you. Scammers always look for the easy way in. And, you know, following these tips and tricks, you know, hopefully this helps make sure that you're not propping that door open for them.
Okay, now to the Genius Bar, and a lot of folks got new phones for Christmas, and they're having trouble setting it up and going. And I went through this around this time last year, and finally figured it all out. And I went from swearing at my new phone to loving it. Do you have any advice for people who got new phones?
Honestly, yeah, I have two things that come to mind right away. Number one kind of goes along with what you're just saying. Go slow, give it a little bit of time. It's a new device, and you know, you want to get to know it a little bit. And right along those lines of getting to know it, I say this about social media too, but it also applies to phones. Go into your settings menu and learn your way around those settings. People are always like, settings are the things that I don't have to worry about. But I look at it the opposite way. If you know what settings are on under there, you can make sure that your phone is as secure, number one, and easy to use as possible. So you'll find things under your settings like update my software apps automatically when there's a new update. That's the kind of thing, you know, update your software when it's connected to Wi-Fi at night. That's the kind of thing you want to make sure you do, because it makes your overall experience that much better.
When you plug in your phone, when you're charging it overnight, is that when everything is backed up to the cloud?
If you have it set up that way to do that, and that's another thing that you find in the settings. If you have, well, I use an iPhone. That makes it, you know, a little bit easier in terms of how the cloud works, at least as far as I'm concerned. But yes, to answer your question, the minute you charge it and your battery reaches a certain percentage, I think it's 50% now when it's connected to charge, yes, that's when it will do the backup to the cloud. It senses it's connected to Wi-Fi, and it will do all of those things. So when you wake up in the morning, you have one less thing to worry about.
One other Genius Bar question for you, and this has happened to me. I was sending somebody a video or trying to send an audio attachment as a text or an email, and just nothing was happening. My phone just wasn't doing it. And then I restarted the phone. I just turned it off, turned it back on again, and everything was fine again. Has that ever happened to you? Well, what is that all about?
It has happened to me. It's hard to say right off the bat what could be causing it, because it could be anything from the service that is handling the cloud backup, you know, isn't working. It could be that there was a glitch in your Wi-Fi connection and something didn't connect, and when you restarted your phone, it reconnected the Wi-Fi. So it's hard to say exactly what it is, but especially when it comes to uploading video, these things do happen because of the amount of processing power and the amount of memory that it takes up to do those things. Less and less with newer phones, but still, what you're describing is something that I think, unfortunately, happens to a lot of people.
All right. Scott Kleinberg with the answers. Talk to you next week. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Bob. Take care.